Open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's a blessing to be able to speak this Wednesday night and the next two. And it's kind of, there's a little bit of pressure when you announce that you're going to be speaking for three Wednesday nights, because if it goes bad the first time, people won't come back the next time. But no, but it's a blessing. I appreciate the chance to speak, and it's a privilege, and I don't count it lightly. And I just want to say a couple things at the beginning. The first thing I want to say is that I don't think you're going to find anyone that loves this outside of the pastor, because that's a special love. But I don't think you're going to find anyone that loves this church more than I do. And you might find someone that loves this church as much as I do, but probably not more. And I love this place. It's a special place to me. We were walking around last night, and I can remember, the old building. I can remember before we had this. I can remember the old gym. We had the game on the night. I told Larry, I said, man, wouldn't it have been nice to have played basketball in this gym? And we were talking about that. And so it's a blessing. This church has been a blessing. And I want to say, too, thank you, church, for the blessing you've been to our family personally. And, very few churches, very few members have a church like this church. And if you travel, you're going to see that. And there's just very few churches that have the spirit we have. There's very few churches that have the consistent preaching that we have. There's very few churches that have the singing and the youth in the choir. I've been in some churches recently where they don't have that, and it's a special place. And I hope you love it. And but not just thank you. I don't just thank you for the blessing you've been to our family when we're on the field. We are a long ways away, and we feel that, but we never feel like we're that far away because we have a church that's very close. And you do a lot for us, you pray for us, you help us, and so we appreciate that. But thank you for the help you are when we come home on furlough, and because that's also a time when it's a time of transition and change, and so thank you for that and your kindness to us. We're going to read the first seven verses of this letter to the second epistle to Timothy, and 2 Timothy, and I don't know how it is for other preachers, but Christmas is tough over the years, because you try to think of something fresh and new, and there's only so much about Christmas that you can draw from. So every year, at least for me, it's like, what am I going to do this Christmas? And so I'm not going to take anything from material that Dad can speak from. It's not going to be Christmas material, but it's going to be a little bit of a Christmas theme for us. I'm sure you know, Dad said it, but we always watch A Christmas Carol every year. And that's kind of one of the traditions we have. And in that movie, I don't know if it's okay to say that in church, in that movie, in that film, in that movie, there are three ghosts, that spirits that walk the earth. And we know that doesn't happen. There's no spirits. People believe in Madagascar, there's a big forest in the southern Madagascar they're deathly afraid to go to, because they believe that when people die, the spirits go to that forest, and then they can go around and haunt people and whatever. We know that doesn't happen. For the next three lessons, three spirits, if you will, that have always been a battle for Christians, that have always been around and that are still around for us today. Let's read verse 1. Start with that. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. And I just want to say this, that if you have people praying for you, that is a forgotten blessing. And, to have parents and people who are older that pray for you. Brother Woodward's mom, she's in heaven now, but she prayed for our family every day by name. And that should mean something to us. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And this is the verse, for God hath not given us, and this is the first spirit, the spirit of fear. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us tonight in the few minutes that we have to get something from your word, Lord. We don't think about this maybe very often, but you put it in your word about the spirit of fear. And maybe that's not a battle for some Christians, but it must be a battle for some. And it was a battle for Timothy. And Paul encouraged him, Lord, that spirit of fear is not from you. It's from Satan. And you, Lord, you have a spirit, the Holy Spirit, of power and love and of a sound mind for us. And I pray that your word will be a blessing to us tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy, if you know your Bible, is Paul's second letter to Timothy, his son in the faith. We know that the first letter, it was different. He is now not under house arrest. He is awaiting death in a Roman prison. It is probably the most personal of all of his epistles. Philemon was also a very personal epistle, a letter to that man. But if you look at this letter, it's probably the most personal one he ever wrote, because Timothy had a special place in his heart. You know, Paul didn't have a son. He didn't have a wife. He didn't have children. So, of course, he didn't have a son. And Timothy had a dad, but his dad, we believe, was lost. You see the faith of his mother and his grandmother mentioned here, but doesn't mention his dad's faith. In fact, the Bible tells us that his father was a Greek. So we believe that Timothy's dad was never saved. So Timothy didn't have a spiritual father. So Paul was that spiritual dad to Timothy, and Timothy was that son, that spiritual son, if you will, that Paul never had. Now, why is Paul writing this personal letter to Timothy? Well, he's awaiting death in a Roman prison. Like I said, he is very near to death. He's at the end of his life. He is soon to die for his faith in Christ, and he is going to be one of thousands of Christians throughout the years that have given their life for Christ. And so, and by the way, he is going to be one of thousands who's going to win that crown of life from Jesus himself someday because of that martyr's death. And so he gives Timothy this charge to take up the mantle, to follow in his footsteps, to follow in his faith, to continue his ministry, and to pass on that same faith to faithful men who will then pass that same faith on to other faithful men. We see that in chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. He gives Timothy the charge to pass on the faith, which is his faith. That's Paul. The faith was Paul's faith. He said, Timothy, the faith is my faith. And then he says, Timothy, I want you to pass on the faith, and I'm persuaded, he says, that it's your faith to others also. And he gave Timothy that charge because he believed that Timothy possessed and would protect the faith. And he would pass that on. Timothy is probably around 40 years old at this time. And it's time for him to not be the follower, but to be the leader. It's time for him to step up and take the lead. It's time for him to take the responsibility, the care, the criticisms, the battle, the burdens, as well as the blessings of ministry, and pass them on to others. And can I just speak a little bit from my heart tonight? I grew up in this church. And then my first Sunday here, I can remember I was 7 years old. The Sunday school class was in the gym. It was two rows of metal chairs, and Mrs. Jessaw was our teacher. And that was my first Sunday in this church. And I've grown up here. And there's people like me in this room tonight. I see people like Jake Payne. I'm going to start calling names and miss people, but I see Jake and Tim and Jack and others. I'm going to miss people, but, you know, we were either born here or we grew up here, and now we have teenagers in this church. Now we or children that are playing in the Pee-wee. I saw it in the Pee-wee game and in the game on Monday. And you know what that is? That means that Faith Baptist Church has, not in a bad way, but there's been some change. That means that the people that when we came and we were kids, our parents were our age, and now we're their age. And it doesn't mean that they're getting ready to pass off the scene or anything like that, but it does mean that it needs to be passed on to us, and we need to pass that on to our kids. It means that the Jack Lewis is in heaven. And so for every Jack Lewis, there needs to be someone to take that place. For every teacher, for every bus worker, for every bus captain, for every preacher, for every person that serves in this church, for every mom and dad that raised their kids according to the Bible and had family devotions, and we need to have new parents, parents who will continue that on. For every person who went soul winning, we need to have people who will go soul winning after them. And you know what? Sometimes when you look around at who's coming next, it's very reassuring. When you see people like Timothy, and Paul said, you're rock solid. He said, I know that the same faith that your grandmother had, your mother had, that you have it too. And I believe that you're going to keep that, you're going to protect it, and you're going to pass that on to the next generation. And sometimes you look around Faith at this church, you see people my age and younger, and you say, you know what? They're in. They're all in. They have it, they've got it, they're living it, and sometimes it's not so reassuring. And I hate to say that, but that really is the truth. And sometimes you wonder because you see the people that have served the Lord, that have lived for the Lord, that have passed that on to us, and you wonder, are they going to step up, and are they going to take the mantle? Are they going to take the responsibility, and are they going to live it and love it and pass it on? So Paul tells Timothy that God has not given him the spirit of fear. Now, why is that? Well, I'm not for sure, but I can. One thing is because Timothy's dad was lost. And Timothy didn't have that male influence in his life. That spiritual influence. And can I say, men, that is very necessary. We need spiritual leadership from dads, from grandpas, from the men of this church. I believe that one of the reasons why Faith Baptist Church is a strong church is because we have always had strong men who have led this church and led their homes. And so, and Paul even mentioned, he brought him back to that and said, that I laid my hands on you as a man. There's something about that where he said, yes, it was your mom's, it was your grandma's, but Timothy, don't forget that gift that you have by the laying on of my hands. And maybe that was part of the reason. I don't know. Maybe Timothy needed this because of his physical makeup. We know that Paul talked about thine often infirmities. Maybe he was sickly, I don't know. Maybe his emotional makeup or who he was. Maybe he was a natural follower. Maybe he was naturally timid. Maybe he was naturally fearful. But for some reason, Paul had to remind him that Timothy, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. And let me say this, fear and doubt are very effective tools that Satan has at his disposal. And he will use doubt and fear to wreak havoc sometimes right here in our minds. And he talks about that sound mind. And he can do that. Fear is powerful. Fear is paralyzing. If you don't believe that fear can cause problems, talk to Peter. Probably Peter denied Christ. Why? Because he was afraid. Abraham, we know, lapsed in his faith several times. Why? Because he was afraid. And other Christians in the Bible, I believe that Esther was naturally fearful. And Mordecai had to give her that challenge. Esther, now's the time. And I personally believe that Esther had a problem with that, but when it counted the most, when she needed to step up, she stepped up. And she fulfilled her calling. Now, fear, doubt, cowardice, they're not from God. Those are not gifts that God gives his children. The gifts that God gives his children are power, love, and of a sound mind. Doubt and fear and all those, that's from Satan. That's the coal in your stocking Christmas gift right there. All right? Those are from Satan. Now, fear is normal. And by the way, I'm going to say this. Fear is not prudence. Prudence is not fear. The Bible talks about being prudent. Concern, vigilance, those are not fear. I hate to say this, but we went to the zoo in Nashville. We were at a meeting there, a missions conference, and we had the day free. And we took JoJo there. As we've been out and about different times, shopping for Christmas, whatever, I told Ashley today, you got to be watching. And I hate to say that, but you know, you're out and about, and you watch, and you look. That's not fear. Respect is not fear. You know, there are certain things I don't fear, but there is a fear, if you will, because you respect what can be done. You know, that's why you have Hunter's Safety Course. I remember taking that course as a boy. And at Dwight and Hunter Safety, and they showed this portrayal of a guy getting that's good. That's good to have a respect for what can happen. You know, you get behind the wheel of a car, the car can become a weapon and kill someone. So that's not what I'm talking about here. This is talking about shrinking back from God's calling because you're too afraid and lack the faith you need to trust the Lord and do what needs to be done. And I got to say personally that sometimes it's hard not to have some fear when you see what's happening. Maybe I'm the only one. But you look at what's happening around the world and sometimes you think, you know what, will I go to jail? Will I? I've had that thought. Will I go to jail someday because this book is being called a hate book, a hate crime in Europe? You realize that's taking place in Europe, right? You realize that, did you see what happened in Canada in 2020? Did you see that? I mean, and so am I the only one that sometimes has a thought and says, am I going to go to jail? I mean, many of you maybe had that thought in 2020 when we opened up. I don't know. We know that in this book, Paul talked about the last days are perilous days, perilous times, as in the days of Noah, the evil day, turmoil, wickedness, natural disasters, wars, rumors of wars, spiritual wickedness in high places, disease. And you know what? I personally think that we haven't seen the end of it. I personally think that they learned too much. And I personally think that we might be in for a fight. I don't know. And I personally think, they want everything online because they can control it online. They want the church. You don't have a church online. You don't have an assembly online. You don't have what we experience every Sunday and every Wednesday right in this place online. You don't have it. You go with that nonsense for too long, you won't have a church left. You wouldn't believe the number of pastors that have told me this year, we're just now recovering from 2020. Just now. And so we need Christians who are going to be rock solid. And we know that we have in this church, we have those Pauls, our parents, the people that have carried the mantle, that have carried the baton. They've stayed the course. They're not moving on to glory, but they have set the example. They have fought the battles. They have stayed true. They have the faith. And now we need people like us. And the next generation, and teenagers, and young couples who are going to be rock solid as well. And when it's time to be counted, we'll be present. We need that. And if we're not careful, we can let the spirit of fear dominate us. If I had to guess, there are probably lots of fears in the room tonight. And if I had to guess, a lot of those fears that we have would be out of our control. In the future, things might, we're not even sure if they're even going to happen. It's very normal. We were in a missions conference in West Virginia. And it was just a time with the missionaries, and we were just talking to the pastor. And he was asking some questions, and there was a couple there who were going to South Africa as missionaries. And if you don't know anything about South Africa, we've been there a couple times. Yeah, that can be a very dangerous place. We know people, bad things have happened. It can be a very dangerous place. It can be a very tough place to labor. And they're going there, and she was talking, and man, she started crying. I mean, the tears came down her face. And she started talking about concerns for her boy and whatever. And I empathize. We empathized with that, didn't we? But I also, you know, we had those fears. I was afraid. I was afraid when the plane took off leaving Chicago, O'Hare. I was afraid. I was shaking. I didn't want Ashley to see it. I'm supposed to be, you know, I was shaking. I had fears. I had fears of failure. That was a big fear. Am I going to fall on my face? Can I learn the language? Will anyone get saved? Will anyone, I mean, all of this, it's very normal. And what this lady was experiencing was very normal. She was trying to follow that call. She was trying to follow her husband. She was trying to do what the Lord had called her to do, but there were fears. You know what I wanted to tell her? It's going to be just fine. It's going to be just fine. We have those fears. We had those fears, but you know what? God has been so good, and He has given us a wonderful 15 years in Madagascar. I wonder how many people haven't gone to the mission field because of fear. They're afraid they won't be happy. They're afraid of sickness or whatever. You know, I wonder how many people are in hell today because of fear. Even Paul told Timothy here, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner." I wonder how many people didn't get saved because they were afraid of what someone else would think. I wonder how many people are in hell today because someone was too afraid to witness to them. I wonder how many don't tithe because of fear. How many don't completely surrender to God because of fear. And you know what? That doesn't come from the Lord. And very quickly, as we are almost done, I just want to say that the gifts that God has given us, first of all, we have the resource of God's unchanging, unlimited power. He said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power." And that word is talking about God's power. And you know what? It has never been easy in any time to be a dedicated child of God. It has never been easy. It was not easy for Enoch, for Noah, for Job, for Abraham, for Moses, for anybody. Look at the Bible. Anybody who was trying to live godly in this world and serve God, and God was trying to use them and increase their faith and use them in a wonderful way, it was never easy for them. But they had the power of God. God and you are a majority. God and I are a majority. And the same power that was available for Moses and Abraham and the others is available for you and me in 2023 and 2024. And I thought about what we're facing today. We act like it's the end of the world. And I was just thinking, you know, when I was, so our parents, they were in the 60s. I mean, assassinations, chaos. Riots, right? Am I right about that? Wickedness, rebellion, sin abounding. And then the 70s, then the 80s with all the gas lines, was that in the 70s and the gas shortages and communism? And I can imagine that when we were born into this world, that our parents had some of the same fears that we have. The world's falling apart. Communism is going to take over the world. And then the 80s and all of the economic problems, whatever. But yet they raised us for the Lord. They went to church. They went soul winning. They knocked doors. They ran buses. They preached the Bible. And they just stayed faithful. And they found out that the same power that Joseph had, that David had, that Esther had, was available to them. And that same power is available for us today. Number two, we have the resource and the reassurance. The resource of God's unchanging, unconditional, and unfailing love. And this might be the only human emotion that's greater than fear. Maybe. Fear can cause people to do crazy things. But only love could be more powerful, probably. Love is what changed Peter. Jesus needed to know, Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter found out that Jesus still loved him. And Peter understood that even though he had failed, even though he had been fearful, that God's love for him never changed. And he was able to take that love and love others and fulfill God's calling. Let me ask you, what is your calling now? I don't know. But I know you have a calling. I don't know how, whatever age you are, whatever place you're in life, I know you have a calling. I know if we're still here on this earth that God has a purpose for us. I know there's a calling to fulfill. So what is it? What are you facing? What do you feel like you can't get through? What are you feeling like? I don't know how I'm going to do this or get through this. You know, did you know that God is not asleep? That God knows exactly where you are? He knows exactly what you're facing. He knows your failures, and he knows your fears, and he's right there with you. And yeah, he got on the disciples for being afraid, but he didn't abandon them. And we need to remember that for some reason, the Holy Spirit had to tell Timothy not just power, but love. And then lastly, we have the resource of God's unchanging, infallible word and of a sound mind. That means self-control and disciplined. You know where a sound mind comes from? Look at verse number 13. Hold fast the form of what? Sound words. We have too many talking heads in our minds and our ears today. We have too many people that are talking to us, and we have far too little of the Holy Spirit speaking to us through His Word. And what we need is to quit listening to everybody else on the outside, and to let the Holy Spirit speak to us from the book every day. What's out there is not unchanging and eternal, but this book is. The Christian life is a life of faith, by faith, and from faith to faith. Trust the book. You know, I have it written in my Bible right here next to verse number 12. Where Paul said, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." I have written there, anything I commit to the Lord, I can cease worrying about. I don't know where that came from. If it was mine, somebody else's, I don't know. But you know what? That's very true. You know, how many of us in this room tonight would fear losing our salvation? I bet very few of us would say, you know, I'm afraid of losing my salvation. Now, why is that? Why is that? Because we have been taught what? The Bible. Once you're saved, you're always saved. We have verses in the Bible that teach us, and we trust that. So why is it some people have such a hard time doubting their salvation? Because Satan knows he can't get us to doubt one, but he can get us to doubt the other. Did I this? Was I this?
Did I say the right words? Was I this? I can't remember. You know, I can't remember. I can remember events that happened when I was a kid. But I can't go back and relive them again. I can't experience the feelings and the emotions, remember every little detail, but I can remember it happening. You know, so some Christians live in fear, and they have not brought their mind with discipline and self-control to simply say, I am going to trust what God's word says. Amen. Same Bible that says that we can never lose our salvation also tells us that if we come to Christ in faith and we believe in Christ in simple faith of a little child, that God will save us. That's just an example. Where Satan can wreak havoc in our mind or whatever it is. Someone said, forgive me, Mrs. Thomason, but someone I think famous said the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. I forget who said that, but I think it's a pretty famous statement. So that's the first spirit of tonight, the spirit of fear. It was in Timothy's day, and I think it's probably still very prevalent in our day. So it's not of God. Shrinking back, saying, I can't, or I won't, or what if, or how. No. We have God's power. We have God's love. We have God's word that can give us a sound mind and live our lives according to this book, not according to everything that's happening in the world around us, not being carried here and there, even in our minds. Focus on this. Focus on doing our job, filling our calling wherever we are, and trust the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it was different tonight. I don't know if I've ever spoken on that verse, but Lord, for some reason it came to mind. You brought it to mind. Lord, you said, you've not given us the spirit of fear, the disposition, Lord. We have to be constantly afraid, timid, faithless, afraid to serve you and live for you. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us, Lord, for anyone, Lord, who has that fear of whatever it is that they're facing or you want them to do. I pray, Lord, that you would please remind us, remind them, remind all of us that your power, love, and your word, Lord, is still available to us today. Is there anyone here with heads bowed and eyes closed? Is there anyone here tonight? I talked a little bit about the gospel, a little bit about being saved, about hell. Is there anyone here that says, I'm not sure I'm saved? Would you raise your hand? And maybe, I don't know. I have no idea. But if that's you, would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, I'm not saved. All right. Let me ask you. If something from the message, the lesson tonight, encouraged you, helped you, challenged you, whatever, would you raise your hand? Said something. I got something. It was a blessing, or in some way it helped me, or God did something in my heart. God spoke to me. All right. Well, if you need to respond, let's respond. The altar's open. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. They're going to play right now, and if you need to come forward, you can come forward and do business with the Lord.